بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. The title is Fida Tujhpe Khaake Shahr Madina. Mubarak Tujhe Ho اے ارض مدینہ, نبی کا شہر ہے یہ شہر مدینہ. مبارک تجھے ہو اے ارض مدینہ, نبی کا شہر ہے یہ شہر مدینہ. تیرے پاس جب سید دو جہاں, نہ کیوں رش کے افلاک پھر ہو مدینہ. تیرے پاس جب سید دو جہاں ہے, نہ کیوں رش کے افلاک ہو پھر مدینہ. تیرے سبز گنبد پہ عالم فدا ہے, فلک جیسے چومے زمین مدینہ. تیرے سبز گنبد پہ عالم فدا ہے, فلک جیسے چومے زمین مدینہ. تیرا ذرہ ذرہ نشان نبی ہے. فدا تجھ پہ میں خاک شہر مدینہ. تیرا ذرہ ذرہ نشان نبی ہے, فدا تجھ پہ میں خاک شہر مدینہ. احد کے یہ دامن میں خون شہیدہ سبق دے رہا ہے وفائے مدینہ. احد کے یہ دامن میں خون شہیدہ سبق دے رہا ہے وفائے مدینہ. نشانی ہے اسلام کی عظمتوں کی, صحابہ کے قدموں سے خاک مدینہ. نشانی ہے اسلام کی عظمتوں کی, صحابہ کے قدموں سے خاک مدینہ. وفاداریوں پر صحابہ کی اختر ہے تاریخ روشن یہ شہر مدینہ. وفاداریوں پر صحابہ کی اختر ہے تاریخ روشن یہ شہر مدینہ. مبارک تجھے ہو یہ ارض مدینہ, نبی کا شہر ہے یہ شہر مدینہ.
بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. الحمد للہ وکفا وسلام علی عباده الذین اصطفى, ما بعد. فرینڈز, دیز آر دی اشعار آف اور الاسٹریس دادا شیخ حضرت علی عارف باللہ رومی زمانہ تبریز دورہ حضرت شاہ مولانا محمد حکیم اختر صاحب رحمۃ اللہ علیہ. اینڈ دی ورڈز آر فلڈ ود دی لو of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the focus towards Akhirah. It is entitled فدا تجھ پہ اے خاک شہر مدینہ. That may we be sacrificed upon the soil of Medina Sharif, because this is the city from where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the deen of Islam spread. This is the city, as Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali mentions in this poem, where we'll take lesson from the loyalty of the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in towards Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How the Ansar had given up everything, and when Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam established the muakhad, the brotherhood between the Muhajireen and the Ansar, what type of brotherhood, that even blood relationships did not count as much as that. They were prepared to sacrifice everything just at the utterance of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not everything, even their lives. So in the first couplet, Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali says that Mubarak tujhe ho e ard Madina, Nabi ka shahar hai ye shahar Madina. That all the soil of Madina Sharif, very very lofty are you, and very very congratulations to you that this is the soil where Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had tread. Who is Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? That ba'd al-khuda buzurkuhi qissa mukhtasar. That what can we say? What can we mention? In one couplet, Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali said that lughat qasir hai. There are not enough words in the dictionary. Zuban, the tongue is helpless. We cannot find the words to describe Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then you see the love of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the heart of the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala and majma'in, when they describe even the features of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Which other religion is there that can describe the Nabi, that can describe the Rasul had come to them? Our Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala and majma'in, may we be sacrificed upon them. That even the eyebrows, even the nose, even the Mubarak eyes, the veins, the beard, the curly hair, etc. What didn't they describe? To what lens did they go? Whatever Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, whatever he did, as we say, it was cast in stone. That is, it meant everything to them. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mubarak radiallahu ta'ala anhuma once told his nephew not to play a certain type of a game. And he said, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had prohibited this. He came back, found the nephew playing again the same game. He said, I told you that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said so, and you still don't listen. That I will never ever speak to you for the rest of my life. We know that to break relations for 3 days, after that our ibadat and things get suspended between the heavens and the earth. But when it came to the saying of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then even a nephew, even whoever it may have been, they would never ever tolerate to go against the teaching or the word of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So very, very blessed are you, O soil of Madina Sharif. That this is the soil, this is the place of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the mountain of Uhud, that this is the mountain of Jannat, it loves us, we love it. When Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam traveled somewhere and he came back, then how much eagerness he showed to reach Medina Sharif. How when he came closer, he would make his camel, his conveyance go faster, that he will come back to Medina Sharif. That he loved Medina Sharif so much. So very, very blessed is this place. Very, very blessed is the soil. Tere paas jab sayyid-e do jahan hai, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, na kyun rashke aflaak ho phir Medina Sharif. That when Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is buried there, and wahuwa fi qabri hayy, he is alive in his qabr there. He is alive, he may have made parda from this world, that we cannot see him anymore, he has left this temporary world, but there he is alive. Now when Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in your bosom, in your belly there, then Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is buried there, then why shouldn't this city be the envy of any other place of the world? When we know and we have been taught that the soil which is touching the Mubarak kafan of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is more lofty and more high and more blessed in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than even the arsh and the kursi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because everything is creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The soil is also creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But because of its contact and touching the Mubarak body of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how blessed it has become. And that is definitely what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us as well. That if you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you claim that you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then for every claim there must be a proof. In kuntum tuhibbun Allah, if you claim that you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, follow in the footsteps of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yuhbibkum Allah. You will become the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa yaghfir lakum dhunubakum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive your shortcomings. When the soil can become so blessed, just by touching the Mubarak body of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then when we bring the lifestyle of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into ourselves, then how beloved won't we be in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Father Hazrat Allah rahmatullahi alayhi writes, Tere sabz gumbat pe alam fida hai, falak jaise chume zameen Madina. That the green dome where Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is resting, this is the envy of the entire world. How many a person went for Umrah, went to visit Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, came back, says, I just feel like going back. A person went for a holiday somewhere, to any part of the world. He went one time, two times, three times maximum. After that, I've been to that place, I've seen it. Whether it is a so-called wonder of the world, or maybe whether it is whatever a person has seen, something strange, something that not normal, that you see other places, different cultures, different ways of life, different ways of administration and governments and different peoples and different dressings. You go once, twice, maybe thrice. If business takes a person that time and again, person says, I just don't feel like going. But a person goes to Madina Sharif, then he comes back and says, I just feel like going back. How many a person under medication says, but when we go there, I stop all my medication. I'm blood pressure tablet. They don't have to take blood pressure tablet. I'm suffering from diabetes. I'm under medication. They don't have to take medication. So the entire world is be sacrificed upon you, O city of Madina Sharif. There is as if the sky has come down to kiss and to hug and to embrace your blessed green dome. If a person goes there and he sees, and you see tears flowing from a person's eyes. And the person just making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his heart, in his mind. And it's a totally different feeling when a person goes there. This is because of the Mubarak presence of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And from this city, from where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made Islam spread to the four corners of the world. Tere zarra zarra nishani e nabi hai, fida tujh pe mere khaak e shehre Madina. That every atom and every speck of dust in the city is a remembrance of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That where he walked, the battle of Uhud, the battle of Badr, how they went, how they sacrificed, and what did Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do, how the armies were sent out from here in defense of Islam and propagation of the deen, that through their sacrifices and through the spilling of their blood, that today we have got Iman. Today, one of the things we are taught here to make shukr of on a daily basis that, oh Allah, you gave us birth in Muslim homes, you blessed us with Iman. This Iman came from the Sahaba-i-Kiram radiallahu ta'ala and his efforts. And who taught them? Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَلَمَّا رَأَى الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الْحَزَابِ قَالُوا هَذَا مَا وَعَدَنَا اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَصَدَقَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. That when they saw the armies and when they had to throw their lives, and when they took their lives in their palms and they went ahead, and they said, this is what Allah and His Rasulullah had promised us. And definitely this is true. And what happened? That the Iman became mazboot. The Iman became stronger. It increased them in their Iman. And today when just a painted dhalim has come in front of me, then I cannot even lower my eyes. Then what loyalty is there between us and Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? As much as we may proclaim and as much as we may profess, but we still have a very, very, very long way to go. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make us from amongst the successful ones. Brother Hazrat Allah rahmatullah alayhi says, that Uhud ke ye daman mein khun e shaheeda, sabak de raha hai wafa-e Madina. That ye at the foot, hole, at the footstep of, at the end of, right at the left of the mountain of Uhud, then we see the blood of the martyrs of the battle of Uhud, they are buried there. Then isn't this giving us a lesson of loyalty? Shouldn't we take a lesson from that they gave their lives, and every day sacrificed everything. Their wives became widows, their children became orphans, they sacrificed everything. When it came to when Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made the announcement, then Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala brought everything that he had in his possession. Oh Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, what did you leave for your family and yourself? I left Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for them. They are more sufficient for me. They have more than everything for us. When Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha wanted the servant, wanted the slave, then just the teaching of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was more than sufficient. Today I listen to bayans and I come to programs and I come to the Islahi Jalsa, and it can't even tickle my heart. It can't even make a difference in my life. It doesn't even take me one step. Then where is our loyalty? As much we should try all the time and make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and never ever become despondent. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with true success and love of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the sunnah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nishani hai Islam ki azmato ki sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ki qadmo se khaak hai Madina. That this is a sign of the loftiness and the nobleness of Islam. The Sahaba, the Qadmu Shaykhak in Medina, at the feet of the Sahaba, that what sacrifices didn't they make? And from this we can see the truth and the authenticity and the veracity of the deen of Islam. That how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala al Madmin, how the Sahaba of Medina Sharia, of Makkah Sharif, the Muhajireen, they sacrificed everything at one call, at one command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They left everything behind, whatever they possessed. And one Sahabi making hijrat and surrounded by the kuffar, he said, I've left everything. And he told them exactly where he left all his wealth. That if I tell you where my wealth is, will you let me go? Yes, they accepted. He told them everything. They were prepared to sacrifice everything. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us also like that. That when we hear an injunction of deen, halal, haram, what is sunnat, what is makruh, what is haram, all these things, and at least we can practice upon it and be prepared to sacrifice everything for it. We stay away from everything that is alien to Islam. We try and bring the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into our lives. Further, in the last couple of hizrullah rahmatullah, they say, وَفَادَارِيُوا پَرْ صَحَابَ فِي أَخْتَرْ هِ تَارِيخ رُوشَنْ يَشِحْرِ مَدِينَ. That the loyalties of the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala and Majmain, how they stuck to the teachings of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how it meant everything to them. The pages of history are full of these incidents. They enlightened with the sacrifices of the Sahaba. We should take lessons from us, subscribe and read, as we are taught here, that daily in our lives at home, at least read one kitab of Tira. Read something about it, inshallah, it will bring a change into our lives. With that small child in England, when the teacher asked all the other children in the class, what do you want to become? And that child said, I want to become a Sahabi. And the teacher being a non-Muslim. But what is a Sahabi? And a small child, 5 or 6 years old, couldn't answer. When the child went to the parents to find out, then the parents said, we read about the Sahaba every day at home. And we read about the stories, the incident. And when it comes to these incidents, these are not stories. Yeah, we use the word story because there's no other word in the English language. It is an orphan language. It's got these are incidents that we have to take lesson from. That a small child, when he hears about the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala, and he feels he wants to be a Sahabi, which is of course impossible, but we can bring their lifestyle into us. And in that way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raise us in their company, in the company of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the day of Qiyamah. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.
Reading from the Kitab Hayat al-Muslimin, Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thani rahmatullah alayh, mentioning the solutions for the Muslims to come out of their problems. This chapter, Ruh number 10, the rights of oneself. We have to fulfill the rights of other people, our parents, wives, etc. We have also a certain rights on ourselves, to look after ourselves, our health, our strength, our peace, etc. Hazrat Munsir radiallahu anhu narrates that once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, do not eat of these dates, for you are sickly. Munzir radiallahu anhu then prepared some beet and barley. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu to eat of it, saying, this suits you. This hadith also pertains to the protection of one's health. Person must look at the food a person is eating, look after his health. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrated that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would make the following dua. O Allah, I seek your protection from starvation. I seek your protection from starvation. In TB it is said that the reason for asking protection against starvation is that starvation produces physical weaknesses and mental anguish. Again, this hadith too implies the desirability of health and peace of mind. Another hadith mentions the significance of hunger, while the hadith cited above mentions the seeking of protection against hunger. Although this seems to be an outward contradiction, in reality there is no contradiction. The significance of hunger mentioned in the hadith is similar to the significance of sickness, also stated in the hadith. Like sickness, hunger is not an end to be acquired. The significance in this regard refers to the thawab one will receive by adopting patience when overtaken by the calamity of sickness or hunger. When this has been imposed on one, there is nothing but patience to adopt. Thus the significance stated is from that direction. A person doesn't go after it, but if it comes into a person, then he will get great rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we don't ask for sickness also. But if a person becomes sick, he realizes, he makes sabr, Allah has given him this condition. Hazrat Uqbah ibn Amir radiallahu narrated that he heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, practice arrow shooting and horse riding. This hadith points to the maintenance of physical health and strength. Hazrat Ubay ibn Amir radiallahu anhu says that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said, whoever gives up arrow shooting after having learnt it is not of us. The emphasis on physical strength and power is indeed great in this hadith. In another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a strong believer is better than a weak believer. This hadith speaks of physical strength, as is clear from the explanation of the hadith by the authorities of deen. Physical power and strength are abilities which Allah Ta'ala loves in His servants. Physical strength has to be developed by believers. Since this is desirable, it follows that it is a duty upon one to preserve one's health and develop one's strength, while at the same time it will be un-Islamic to resort to such practices which are harmful and injurious to one's health. Excessive eating, excessive sleeping, excessive indulgence in sexual relations are destructive to one's health. In the same way, excessive reduction in food and sleep produces physical weaknesses. Physical training and ways of defense are all included within the scope of this hadith. Physical training and methods of defense should be practiced within the bounds of the Sharia and the law. The law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a person should look after himself. So in there, two things Hazrat Amir rahmatullahi mentioned. One is the food a person is eating, he has to look after his food, be careful about his food. Eat such food, it will give strength and health to a good person. And similarly, together with that, Allah give us tawfiq to maintain our physical health and strength, exercising or whatever. Because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a strong believer is better than a weak believer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to make amal.
Alhamdulillahi wa kafa'a. Wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina istafa'a. Amma ba'd. Before carrying on, one practice if we all can develop within ourselves, which is stressed very much by our elders, and that is, especially for the students who are studying hadith, and that every time Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's name comes, to say sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Like that in a bayan also, now Mufti Ali Bhai was explaining, and how many times he took Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam's name. But unfortunately, we are in a state of unmindfulness. We must be reading it, but in the heart. But to read it verbally, softly, and to at least let the tongue and the lips move also. And to read it with passion and feeling. And really, Durood Sharif, Salawat ala Nabi, is such a great ni'mat. And what we want to talk about today is being unmindful, ghaflat. But we are unmindful of the great values of Durood Sharif. And we are also unmindful that we take it for granted, I read Durood Sharif. Whenever Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam's name is taken, that I read Durood Sharif. But the fact is that we are not reading. Like for example, before eating, all of us are quite convinced, I read my Bismillah. But if we have to check, we will see we are not reading Bismillah. Today we had a visitor, an alim from overseas, and he had some juice and something, and then he read dua of shukr after that, two duas. So I mentioned to him that this is something, like today it has become out of the ordinary. Whereas that should be the normal, to make shukr to Allah Ta'ala. Normally after we eat also, we really check ourselves, perhaps we are not even saying Alhamdulillah. The dua we should read, Alhamdulillah illadhi at'amana, like that every one of us will know that dua. But are we really reading it after we eat? We will find that we are very, very negligent. So Allah make it that whenever any bayan, whenever Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's name comes, to read sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and to move our lips and to move our tongue. Inshallah, this will take us very far. Durood Sharif, without any exaggeration, or we can never even ever fulfill the right of the bayan of what great goodness for all our dunya's needs also, for all our deeni needs also, for our islah also, for whatever. Durood Sharif is such an alchemy, such as Allah Ta'ala has given us, that everything of ours will get done by Durood Sharif. And there are so many instances written of great, great people of ordinary people, but just by the barakat of Durood Sharif, where and where they had reached. What great position. And Durood Sharif, we don't need wudu also. We don't have to be facing the Qibla also. And just keep on rereading Durood Sharif. It will take us very, very far in every aspect of our life. So at least when we are listening to Bayan, it is famous with students. Previously it was, by the time they came in the Mawquf Alayh, the penultimate, the year before completing, by that year already, or by in the year of Dora, they would get ziyarat. They would see Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam in their dreams. Unfortunately, this ni'mat is gone very, very less now. And the reason for that is that it is accepted that the people who read the most Durood Sharif are the muhaddithin. Because as they are reading Durood, Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Sami'tu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Everywhere, so many times, in one lesson of 1 hour, half an hour, three quarter hour, how many times Durood Sharif? By the barakat of that, they should get ziyarat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And lives used to change. And Allah used to take great works of deen from those people. All in the by the barakat of Durood Sharif. And it, as hadith is taught by our ulama, that the hadith is read and all are listening, and then every time we are reading sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that dars, that classroom where this is, also the amount of anwarat, an amount of nur, amount of barakat, amount of rahmat, amount of security that descends. Whatever you can think of, just by the barakat of Durood Sharif. But unfortunately, we are in a state of unmindfulness. And now also check ourselves at this time, that whether when we will hear the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whether we are reading sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or not. Hazrat Qari Muhammad Tayyib Sahib, rahmatullah alayhi, one great feature of his great, great many features in his bayans, when he used to speak of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then he used to state it in this way, ke Rasulullah, just take a little pause. So automatically everyone then reads Durood Sharif. So he should make his bayan in such a way, take the name of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If I just carry on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but just by that little pause, it draws the durood from the crowd. Then everyone also starts reading Durood Sharif. And then you can imagine the position of like Qari Sahib, whoever that person is who's giving the bayan, the ustad who's reading the hadith, that all are reading because he has encouraged them. All that sawab is going to them. What is their position then? By Allah Ta'ala. So Durood Sharif, and it is so easy, and it should be just natural. Durood Sharif is in a sense to say, Jazakallah to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But we didn't know how to say. So we said, Sallallahu Allah taught us, you tell me that I must send my very special mercies on Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. For example, we tell somebody English language, thank you. It's a sign of a good character, you told a person. But what's the meaning of it? What do you get out of it? You tell a person, Jazakallah. May Allah reward you. What a great thing. Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith rahmatullah alayhi has written that if anyone does you any favor, then at least you must, it comes in the Hadith Sharif, you must do a favor back to him again equal to that amount. How much somebody is kind to you, good to you, you be good to that person in that way. Somebody gave you a gift, give him a similar gift also. So always we should try and do whatever somebody has done, we should tell the person. Now, English language, thank you. All other language also have got shukran, thanks, I thank you. But what jazakallah has got. And the real, the complete words are jazakallahu khaira. May Allah reward you with goodness. So what a dua it is. And it comes in the Hadith Sharif, anyone who has done a favor to you, now every time to give the person similar what he gave you, to do the favor what he did to you, also back to him, it's not so. But if you say, Jazakallah khaira, you have fulfilled the full rights of that favor that person has done on you. Because what can be greater than may Allah reward you? What can I reward you? I want to give you a present in return. You did a favor. You went out of way, your way to see to some need of mine, to do some work of mine. I can also perhaps do that. But what Allah will do, who can do better than that? So this is also a thing, really. All these words, insha'Allah, masha'Allah, they are so great words. And they should be naturally our vocabulary. But unfortunately, we don't find this on our tongues. We are unmindful of it. This disease and illness of unmindfulness is very, very severe. So Allah give us tawfiq that every time we hear Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's name, we read Durood Sharif. And we try and also read it with passion. And the favors of Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam, after Allah's favors, nobody's favors, not even our parents, somebody, no matter what difficulty he went through. And mashallah, there are many people, how they helped out people in the very difficult times. Sometimes family people you helped out. Sometimes complete strangers. You were traveling, you got stuck somewhere. And with your family, cold winter night, raining also, and some places in the world, snowing also. Somebody came and he took you to their house, and they gave you a hot meal, and they sorted out your car for you also. And they didn't charge you for anything also. In fact, they gave you some gifts after that also. They did everything. Your whole life you will remember that person. And hundreds of such instances can never compare to the favors of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam upon us. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, his favors are such that not only for this dunya, but for akhirat also. And really, they are those favors which have made insan, insan. All Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's great, great favors are not only for our deen, but for our dunya also. Everything. For example, it is sunnah when we wake up in the morning that you must rub your eyes. Doctors have found that by rubbing your eyes, it has 10 great benefits on your vital organs. So in the morning if you do that, what great benefit. The benefits of miswak are endless. So much so that, for example, today unfortunately, many of us, we are on the toothbrush, toothpaste, and the toothpaste, the doctors of Europe and America, they discourage using toothpaste first thing in the morning because of the chemical which is in it causes great harm. Whereas on the other hand, the miswak, it does so much of benefit for the whole body. Not only keeping the teeth or the mouth clean, but for the whole body. Every sunnah, Allahu Akbar. We are taught to make at least 5 times a day wudu. Perhaps a bit less we make if our wudu stays for another namaz. Though we are encouraged to make a fresh wudu for every namaz. Allah give us tawfiq. But anyway, whatever number of times we make wudu, one mustahab of wudu is to make masah of the neck. With a wet hand, we pass it here. Doctors explain that all the nerves, they run here at the back. And this is like oiling and servicing all those nerves. You are keeping them in order. We find many people got nerve problem. And then what a mental case that person becomes because of nerve problem. Because of nerve problems, many other things also. You have pains in your leg, in your back, because of the nerves there. And this we are taught by to make, to so to say, to service the nerves. 5 times a day, as many times as we make our Maulana Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, of the very many benefits of wudu also, he should say when you are tired, make wudu, and this aspect of wudu was the important thing of making the masah of the neck. And you can try it. Whenever you're feeling tired, just make the masah of the neck and you feel your tiredness is gone out of you. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a perfect way of life. How a perfect husband must be. They taught us how a perfect wife must be. How a perfect father must be. How a perfect child must be. Imagine to this extent, on one occasion, when a cat that was in Masjid Nabawi, she gave birth. Then the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum wanted to remove it from the Masjid. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, respect her now, she has become a mother. In other words, she's got a position now, she's a mother. So how much Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even for that animal, that Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam had feeling for that animal also. When Dr. Iqbal, the famous poet, when he heard this, he sobbed and cried so much. And when uncontrollably, when he gained again, he could control his feelings, he said, read it again. That my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for a cat also. Hey, so what a deen we have got. But even our whole deen, everything, we are unfortunately in ghaflat. We don't appreciate what the scientists will say, what some philosophers will say, what some politicians will say. Other people will have regard for it. But for our Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam things, unfortunately we haven't got that regard. And just to the extent of even reading Durood Sharif, and then to bring the sunnah, even to bring sunnahs in our lives, Durood Sharif is aksir. It works the work of alchemy. Sunnahs will come into our life. The love of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the love of Allah Ta'ala will come into our life. Durood Sharif is a very, very great blessing which Allah has given us. Allah let us understand it and appreciate it. Also, just before we carry on a bit, one very beautiful article of a lady in Egypt, the pious lady, she was a teaching, and she said what spurred her on in her life was the ayat of the Quran, وَعَجِلْتُ إِلَيْكَ رَبِّي لِتَرْضَى. We will say it again so that it comes into our lives. And this was when Musa alayhi salatu wasalam went to Allah Ta'ala, and Allah asked him that what brought you in a rush to me? Why you came so much in a rush, like you came eagerly to me? He said, oh Allah, to please you I came. So she said, this ayat has worked great, great benefits for me. That whenever adhan goes, then I just think of this ayat and I leave all my work. And I go and make my namaz. She says when her alarm, she should set it for 2 o'clock in the morning. When the alarm goes off, still heavy in sleep, not wanting to get up, very, very sleepy. But that ayat flashes in her mind, and then she's up. I have to go and please Allah Ta'ala. Her husband used to phone her every day and tell her, prepare this food, etc. So one day he phoned and he wanted a particular dish, that is grape leaves, and put rice in there, roll it, and then fry it or whatever. And he always loved his love. He was a food lover. He wants his food hot also, prepared well. Then he was phoning home, and in the meantime, she had completed her work. There were just 3 rolls left to do. And adhan went. So it was her nature, her very tabiat. She went away and she started making her namaz. He was phoning, no reply, because she was in namaz. When he came, he was very angry when he saw that there's only 3 rolls and she just to fry it. Another 5 minutes, where is she? When she found her in namaz, he was also angry. And he was shouting at her, but just to find that she had passed away in sajda. Mm-hmm. So imagine, just always to please Allah. And the real success is that success.
this dunya, no matter what house we got, what garden we got, what other features, entertainment we have got, whatever we have got, what our income is, what our akhirat is, that is the real success or the real favor. Nothing to do with this world. This world, the success and failure of this world is also just superficial. It is temporary, it is superficial. Real is the life of the akhirat. So, and from here, the advice that is deduced from here, for man also, as soon as we hear adhan, prepare for namaz. In fact, there are those buzurgs who prepare before adhan also. And there are those buzurgs their whole life, and not only towards the end of their life, but whole life. And during your youth, when you are young, it's not so easy. At that time also, by adhan time, they were in the masjid already. So Allah Ta'ala give us. And for the ladies also, what will be very good when they hear adhan, to go for namaz, to finish the namaz first. Allah give us all tawfiq, and then all good deeds, to always be keen in doing our good deeds. Usually for other things, we rush and we do. We see, we get things done. But our deeni matters, lot of procrastination, putting it off. We'll do it, we'll see to it, we're just putting it off. So, the little advice we wish to share, which we learn ourselves and we share with our brothers, Allama Yusuf bin Nuri rahmatullah alayhi said, if we study the lives of the people of before, all the Aqwam, the nations of Nuh alayhi salam, Thamud, Ad, Nuh, Ibrahim alayhi salam, all Fir'aun, Musa, all these nations, he says we find one common thing that was in them was ghaflat, unmindfulness. They didn't apply their mind. They were like in a haze. They were like unmindful of reality. So that is one thing. And Hazrat explains what was this, that whenever Allah's azab came upon them, because of this unmindfulness of theirs, they attributed it to some natural causes. That this happened, that happened, earthquake happened, because of the earthquake so many people died, so many buildings were destroyed, volcanoes came, so much damage, they attributed it to these outward causes. And where they could not find an outward cause, they took it to coincidence. It happened like this. Accident happened. It was just, it happened at that time that car didn't stop for the red light, and or a car came head on onto us, or whatever. Or one brother was explaining that he was driving, and just it came in his mind something, that there's this car coming right for me, directly in front of me. But there was nothing like that. He went off the road, just to avoid that. So all this unmindfulness that overtakes a person. So this is a very, very dangerous thing. And when we are unmindful, and Allah has got love for that person, Allah wants that person's akhirat to be made. Just one, two instances now which came about. One student, a foreign student, he says first his life was very far from deen. Dressing, etc. also, he mentions particularly that one time when my jeans and all my things I was driving, and I was rushing to go and play a soccer match. And then it was raining, and I hit a water puddle or something, and the car skidded. In that, I had brain damage also. Now, he came actually to complain of insomnia, and he said because of that 3-4 days, he couldn't sleep. So his whole sleep pattern, and when the sleep pattern goes off like this, it takes a very long time to come back again and come right again. So, and this is also a serious thing. Anyway, after that, he went for Umrah, and then he changed his life. Now, a lesson to learn, why wait for something like that and then change your life? Why be unmindful? Why wait till the alarm rings? Be awake before the alarm, and you don't disturb anyone else around you. Yeah, in Ramzan, one common problem is the alarms are ringing, and the people are not getting up, and it's disturbing everyone else. You up yourself and you switch it off already. So you don't disturb anyone also. So when Allah, and this is also Allah's mercy that He sent, that now the mashallah, the student whole life, what consciousness and deeni jazba he has got. Similarly, one hafiz, he also living a life, the hafiz of Quran, but living his life far from deen, doing all the wrong things. Returned home one day and the crooks were waiting for him. And they shot just at random. And he shot him and he's paralyzed from his waist down now. Now he's in his bed, but now he realizes. Now he's making his namazes in that condition. Now he's turning to Allah. What it is? Why be in this unmindful state for me and for all of us? Why we are in this why wait for Allah save us all? Why wait for something like that to happen and then we make tawbah and change our life? Why don't we do it before time? Come out of this unmindfulness of ours and be conscious and everything. For example, this unmindfulness of us, let us think. Like when we stand for namaz, then how much our feet, how far should they be apart? 4 fingers. And in which direction must they face? Qibla. So let us be conscious when we start our namaz, where we are going, salatu mi'rajul mu'min. What namaz? You are making mi'raj, you are reaching Allah Ta'ala, you are going very far. So you are going to go very high. But keep yourself down on earth also. Before you start your namaz, just look down and see. Are my feet 4 fingers apart? All the masalas we all know. And we are just unmindfulness. We finished our Maghrib namaz, Farad, Sunnah, Nafils also, inshallah. But who of us took note whether my feet are 4 fingers apart? And whether they are facing Qibla? Normally, our feet are facing to the east and the west. And a pilot who has to land his plane at an airport, if he's 1 degree off, he will land that plane. If the airport is near the sea, he'll land it in the sea. Or if it is near a residential area, and it happens, he lands the aeroplane in the residential area. If he's just 1 degree, we are making mi'raj to Allah. And we are so much off. And we are unmindful. We shouldn't look at the person next to us. Look at ourselves. And by looking down at least, we will cut ourselves to the side. Though we are going very high. So at least that little bit, let us try and become conscious. And also with regard to namaz, unfortunately, we find a person who's regular with namaz. We'll find us going in one of two directions. A person who is making his namaz all the time. One is that person who is making his namaz and then he comes to a stage where he takes it for granted. And then he stands casually in namaz also. Just to get an idea, Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali, and lives and the incidents of our buzurs give us great inspiration. His house was adjacent, right, joined to the masjid. And in his old age, just to go to the masjid, his house was with the masjid. But he had to sit down 3-4 times, he should get tired. But when he used to make his namaz, awwabin also, he should stand and read it. So somebody told him, Hazrat, you are weak, you are old, you can sit and read it, and it's nafal namaz. And today, with smallest excuse, how many of us, for his namaz, we just sit on the chairs. And we have to find out the masala, whether that namaz is made or not. That farz namaz, the standing position is farz in namaz. So, and then what should Hazrat say? He says, I feel shy to sit in front of Allah Ta'ala. To understand that we are sitting, I'm sitting here, we are all, and some person comes now. And a respectable person, reasonably respected, we have respect for him. So just to sit and meet him is like disrespect. You stand up and you meet him. So in front of Allah to sit like that. And even any signs in our namaz, in our daily, all our things. Like for example, we go for hajj, we go for ziyarat of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And with this, that I've come with, I made big sacrifices. I've come with, and we stand also like him in a very tired position. That is not advisable. In front of who are we? It is our honor that they invited us to come. That we are at Kaaba Sharif. To sit in a wheelchair, no problem, is jai. But really, we find till today, those people, old people, weak people, but they won't sit in a wheelchair. That we are making tawaf by Allah, the honor of Allah. And the other aspect of it, which is more for our sake, our benefit, that sit and make namaz, you get half the tawaf. So if you are offered a palace, the size of a palace, and you are another one offered half the size of it, who will go for half the size? And just for that little bit effort of just standing, why take the less tawaf, unless really it is? And then also we should still feel guilty. A person who cannot help, but now he has to sit on the chair and make namaz, he's whatever his back, his knees, whatever problem he's got, he's justified. But that guilty feeling must still be in us. Hazrat Mufti Zainul Abideen Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, once making bayan for the ulama in drive-in, he said, today we won't travel on camels, etc. We'll travel in our cars, etc. But still you must have that feeling that I wish we could be still the sunnah of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That we should still cherish that way of life. But today we just want to abandon that, and even we sort of like that camel zamana, we use that word also. That is like outdated, it doesn't work at all. Whereas our real success is not going front, but going back to the life of Medina Sharif. Going back to the life of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So today also we should think what Hazrat Allama Yusuf bin Nuri Rahmatullah Ali said, this ghaflat. And this ghaflat is in so many things. The one common example we usually give is like we invite people coming for a special occasion at home. We want to give them the best of everything. Ladies have got the frying pan on the stove. Hot oil is now sizzling hot. Just waiting for them to come. Put the samosas in and serve them with hot samosas. But that little bit unmindfulness, the handle was sticking out this side. And a two-year-old child, and they are up to any and everything at that age of two, grabs the handle and pulls it down. And all that hot oil onto the child now. So what was going to be such a happy occasion, such a joyous occasion, turns out into a total tragedy for everyone. And then not only for them, that poor child's whole life. The parents with that memory all the time. What a thing. And then we don't know what it can cause. Death also. Or if it's not death, then with all that whole life now that is. So this is that little ghaflat. In dunya things, without any doubt, in deen, this ghaflat of ours is much more worse. This unmindfulness. And we are more dunya things still. We are quite, my water and light account, I must pay on time, it must be paid. My this thing must be seen to, that thing must be seen to, my driver's license must be renewed. We seldom slip up. But they are within our namazes. How much are we conscious? Five times namaz. How many of us are really there for takbir-e-ula? How many people? We were in one place recently, and the people complained of the imam that he just comes at the time of iqamah. That at that time he comes, which is in order really, but the people don't like that. The people are there before time, the ordinary people, and then we are not there. So how many of us in so many things of ours, but it doesn't matter, it's in order. But for anything else, we've got an appointment by the doctor, we have got an appointment by the lawyer, anyone else. We make sure we are half an hour before time, 5 minutes before time. But the appointment with Allah Ta'ala, that what is our attitude there? What is our attitude? So Allah give us this tawfiq, that this ghaflat of ours. And then this ghaflat, like with the people of before, and even till now, Allah's azab that comes, and we ascribe it to other things. Today, whatever all the conspiracy theories are going around about the virus, etc., what it is actually, what it isn't, but the real thing is our disobedience of Allah. But our unmindfulness won't make us to accept that. That it is my disobedience and not other people's gunas, it's my guna. And that if I can take 2 minutes and think, what are my gunas? And fortunate is that person who can see some gunas. Otherwise, normally we feel, I'm all right. And we can't see our gunas. Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayhi has written Ajib. Hazrat Shaykh says that the righteous and pious people, the more they are righteous and pious, the more they are humble, they are more conscious that, Ya Allah, even in namaz we are taught at the end, Allahumma inni zalamtu nafsi. After namaz again, Allahu Akbar, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, that I didn't make my namaz correctly. If that reality comes, and then Hazrat Shaykh says, the righteous and the pious, the more closer they become to Allah, the more they feel guilty that our thing, my iman is not right also. They feel guilty about that also. They feel guilty about everything. And if our iman is not correct, and today our iman is it's a thing to worry about very greatly. If iman is not correct, then nothing will be correct. If our Islam is not correct, what's going to happen? In the same way, how many of us are concerned? Ghusl. Is my ghusl correct or not? Do I properly know all the farais of ghusl or not? Am I making, is it just today, it's a shower system, in and out? Did I make? And istinja is even more. One great alim explained over one of his students that how he explained to him, he made the istinja just splashing some water. And especially with the high pan, are we making our istinja properly? Is my istinja correct or not? And we find Allah Ta'ala save us. It happened few times. Person sitting next to you, wudu, for washing the legs, doesn't lift the legs, just let the water on the lake, and then just takes with his hand and just sprinkles on the water, whether the bottom of the lake, whether rubbing the lake and all that between the toes, etc., just little bit. And how many of us, our wuzu is just a slapdash wuzu, just take some water, just splash it on the face, on the hand, whether the elbows were washed or not properly, we are not concerned. Unmindfulness, lot of ghaflat that we have got. And in our deen and everything, we just take for granted. And if a person is given what is called istidraj, respite Allah gives you, and you're carrying on what you're doing, your thing, and then if He takes us to task in this world, that is still Allah, still ni'mat. And if He takes us to task at the time of mort, when now you cannot return, and now you can't do anything. If Allah takes us to task in this world, whether Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali writes, you become paralyzed or whatever else, it's still a mercy of Allah if you get tawfiq of making tawbah. And if not, and you're just still carrying on in your way, what will be? And if nothing happened, you live peacefully with all the wrong things, and at mort that time, now you realize, now there's no chance. Allah give us tawfiq to stay away from all this ghaflat that is in us, and to become conscious, for me first, I am the most, and there's no doubt, without any the amount to, I am ghafil, all of us. Allah give us tawfiq to come right, inshallah.